This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Have Earl Ingram Jr. joining me today. He's going to be with me all hour. You can check his show out on the Civic Media Radio Network, 8 to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday. Earl, a pleasure to catch up with you. Got Jess PS on the board. You can be with us as well, 855-75-CIVIC. Before we get into perhaps some of the politicking, Earl, we wrapped up the last hour reminiscing about our fandom for the Detroit Lions. And I got to tell you, I mean, for a city that was once the center of the universe, or at least the center of the world. I mean, you know, when the auto industry blew up in Detroit, man, and there's still, you know, remnants of glory there. And they're trying to make a comeback, man. There's a lot of folks moving back into town. I believe Detroit had its first increase in population this last year in like 50 years. Some of the auto industry are reinvesting back into downtown. I'm actually going to be in Michigan this weekend. The train station, they put almost Ford's put almost $1 billion into a technology hub in Michigan. There's a lot going on. Of course, we heard, you know, the Republicans, lots of people trashing Motown. What did Trump say in Detroit? That if he doesn't get elected, the rest of the world's going to look like Detroit. I'm thinking, man, Detroit's making a comeback. And the motto, Earl, Detroit versus everybody. You know, there's a sense of camaraderie coming out of Motown these days. Oh, we got Earl? Okay. Yeah. All right, there we go. Hey, yeah. Earl.
So, man, the Motor City.
Yeah.
Detroit, man, in the 60s and the 70s. Detroit was the heartbeat of this nation. And people don't know anything about that. There were so many wealthy people who lived in Detroit because General Motors had to be the number one Fortune 500 company at that point in time. And people who couldn't read or write lived middle-class lifestyles, were able to live the American dream, to own fine homes and have new cars and send their kids to college. All of that took place in Detroit.
Yeah.
As my good friend Gilbert Brown would say, Detroit.
Detroit.
Yeah. But man, Detroit is a place that went through an awful lot. It's on the resurgence. It's took a long time, man. They went block by block, man, just dismantling and tearing down a city that was as prominent as Detroit. You remember those times in the 70s, late 70s, and where they just tore down, man, miles and miles of that.
Well, they would have Devil's Night, during the Halloween season, and people just start burning down, you know, abandoned buildings. It was the place. So it's been a lot going on there. And you think about the quote unquote glory of Detroit as it was, as you know, technological. I mean, you know, Ford, GM, Chrysler.
Oh man,
and the companies and car companies that came and went, and all the suppliers there. I mean, there is a reason why Motor City, Detroit, is still Motown. Now you got to look at Oakland County, Wayne County, Macomb County. A lot of that work has moved out to the counties. It's trying to come back now. Of course, we got international auto companies there now as well. But it's one thing to go from it was glory. I mean, it was a robust, booming city, and the way the cars were just rolling off the assembly line, it brought up, you know, African-American workers from the South. Ford had a big part of that, and bringing people in. And then, of course, then, you know, things went to hell. There were the race riots in the late 60s and the civil rights movement. And there is still, even to this day, I think, you know, there's certainly legacy hangovers from that time. Earl, I mean, my parents moved out to, you know, back to here in Wisconsin in the early 70s. And it's not like they were even downtown, but there were, I remember even as a kid growing up, everyone's like all concerned about the crime and everything going on in Detroit. And now you see this resurgence in business, in industry, in art, in reinvestments into the buildings. And then we have, you know, top it all off, an excellent Detroit football team going to play the Packers at Ford Field this evening, 7:15 local time here in Wisconsin. And Earl, the Lions are favored by 3.5. How are you taking it, man?
I'm Lions, man. Yeah. Lions all the way, baby. you talked about when you talk about Detroit, it's the fondness of it. I was in the auto industry for 34 years, and so here in Milwaukee, and so I know what Detroit was. And the thing I'd say to you about Detroit is, Joe Biden and the Democrats deserve some credit because they start working on bringing some of those automobile jobs back to this country. I don't want people to forget that while they're talking about all the things that Trump is going to do and all of those different things. Joe Biden did some things, Dominic, that people won't really talk about until many years from now. And bringing back some of that auto industry. Who was it? Was it Donald Trump who initially, when Barack Obama said, I'm going to save the auto industry, it was Donald Trump who said, let it die.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
Come on, man.
And saving the auto industry, if I recall at the time, was controversial. But here is the deal. Those were loans, right? And you can't just let this entire industry fold like that, and they were loans, and they were paid back billions of dollars. And I'll contrast that with, Earl, what the trade war that Trump got into with China, which is as part of that war, they stopped buying ginseng and other items from our farmers here in Wisconsin. And what did Donald Trump do during election season? Well, he went to the pocket to billions of dollars, like $20 or $30 billion over a couple of years, and just gave it to the farmers. No loans. No payback, no nothing, no interest, just a handout to the farmers. And there's a difference.
You know, Dominic, the fact that we understand, we know those things occurred. There are many people who don't even know that happened. And yes, imagine had Barack Obama not bailed out the auto industry,
right,
had he done what Donald Trump said, do, let him die, you know, where we would be now. Yeah. But anyway, Detroit Lions, I'm sorry, Packer fans, Detroit Lions.
Sorry, Packer fans. And I'm taking the line at 3.5, 855-752-4842, 855-757, hanging out with our pal Earl Ingram, just on the board as well. All right, let's do a little politicking, Earl. We haven't gotten there quite yet. And you and I haven't spoken in a couple of weeks, so it's great to catch up, man. I always love talking to you. The Joe Biden pardon of Hunter. You know, this thing, it's I've been struggling with it. I'm not a fan of it. And now, you know, some of the headlines I'm seeing is that they're potentially talking about preemptive pardons for potential Donald Trump targets. You think Adam Schiff, Liz Cheney, Anthony Fauci, for example. And I don't know, it's one thing for Hunter to be pardoned. I mean, he actually had specific crimes he was convicted of. You know what I mean? And aside from the fact that Biden said he wouldn't do it and then he did it, you know that's problematic. But what did Adam Schiff do? What did Liz Cheney, what does Anthony Fauci do that would deserve not only a preemptive pardon, but any sort of prosecution by an incoming administration? You know, this is very hairy, and it seems to me it's going to open up the doors, not that Trump needs any permission, for him to start doing that. And everyone's going to also, it's going to be pardon wars. What's your sense, Earl, if I may, on the president's pardoning of his son?
You know, Dominic, you know, I'm not saying it was the right thing to do. They really wanted to, they were going to really do some horrible things to Hunter Biden under Trump and the Republicans in charge. They've been wanting to get at him. So President Biden could not leave his son at the mercy of the people that are coming in, because they, now listen, Hunter Biden did some things that he should pay a price for. You can't say to the American people who don't have money that if I catch you stealing the candy bar and we're going to call the police and the police are going to come and get you, we're going to lock you up and then you're going to go to jail and you're going to go and you didn't pay this, so we're going to lock you up. But then somebody who has all the money in the world commits crimes. And then we want to talk about our great justice system.
Right.
The double standards have to stop. And so that was a double standard with Hunter Biden. But that then doesn't mean that now it's okay for Donald Trump to release all the people from January 6th, because that's what he's getting ready to do. And he's saying, see, Joe Biden did it for Hunter Biden, so I can do it. Pretty soon he's going to be doing that for what was the old governor's, the mayor, Rudy Giuliani.
Oh, right.
He's not, you think he's going to leave his boy Rudy Giuliani out there, man? He's going to pardon him. He's going to pardon all sorts of people, and he's going to predicate it on the fact that Joe Biden, you know, pardoned Hunter Biden and Dominic, they're not the same. These things aren't the same.
They aren't the same. And it's concerning that once again, a politician says one thing and then goes and does another thing. And it, you know, and I've said this before, it doesn't matter if it's someone I voted for or not. That hypocrisy bothers me as a father. Sure. I get that. But why put yourself out there and say that, you know what I mean? And then go ahead. So maybe he was thinking, you know, Kamala was going to win and Kamala would pardon him. You know, I mean, there could have been all sorts of things, but I think the greater point that you make, Earl, that I think is very important is the two-tier justice system. Here we go. Another rich white guy, convicted of crimes, getting away with it. It's Donald Trump getting away with it. It's Hunter Biden getting away with it. It's right. It's left. You know, the difference is rich.
Yes.
Rich and white, but rich. That's the difference. If you're rich, it is a different justice system for you and us, the rest of us, the people. We don't have to put up with that. Yet we do. Yet we do. And what do we have? We have a billionaire cabinet coming in under Donald Trump. Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvi Show. That's Earl Ingram. Join us, 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvi Show, 855-752-4842. Hanging out with Earl Ingram. Got Jess P.S. on the board and you on the lines and the texters, 855-75-CIVIC. Some folks on the Hunter Biden pardon, you know, again, I totally understand that there are obviously lots of different angles to look at this. And you see what's coming in with Donald Trump. It's a big boy game, Earl. You know, if you're gonna be president of the United States, you know that means you're putting yourself out there, and not just yourself, your family. You know, everyone that goes along with that. That's part of the deal. You know, and if you're gonna be, you know, crack smoking, tax evading, there's a price to pay for that. As you mentioned, you know, some poor kid, you know, stealing a candy bar. you know, get can if he's on probation for something else. I mean, you got, you know, think about the, you know, anytime probation is violated, you know, for something stupid and they get thrown in. Maybe there was a serious offense at one point, but now you're on probation, you're on paper, and you do anything wrong, well, now you're back in. But if you're wealthy, if you're connected, you don't have to worry about those things because you can get pardoned. Hell, Donald Trump pardoned Jared Kushner's father, right? Who's now going to be the ambassador to France, was just had their government blow up because they have a no confidence vote going on over there, part of our concerns about democracy. But another billionaire, you know, Kushner, now he actually apparently did a couple of years, so he was pardoned after the fact, Earl. But the story on the things that he did, I believe it was tax evasion as part of it, but he also had a beef with his brother-in-law, and there was a thing going on. Then he set up a honeypot, had a hooker sleep with him, and caught it all on tape, and then sent the video to his sister. I mean, what kind of weird, twisted, you know, what is going on? And this is now going to be our ambassador to France. And Donald Trump's like, well, this is Ivanka's father-in-law, so I'm going to give him a pardon because he's a billionaire buddy. I mean, it's like those shows back in the, like, Dallas, or, you know, some of those shows in the 70s and 80s. It is just obscene beyond belief. And now we're going to have a cabinet full of billionaires, and we're going to have some, apparently, maybe some sexual assaulting, drinking, partying members. So this Pete Hegseth guy, the Foxy guy, is on his last legs, apparently, if you believe the reporting, for head of Department of Defense. But what qualifies him or Cash Patel to run, you know, the FBI in the first place, Earl? It's just, how do you feel that this administration is coming together, Earl?
You know, Dominic, there's several things. First off, if the American people don't understand that when you allow anybody, although we already know it, it's been that way, justice is for those who can afford it. It's always been that way. It will always be that way. And our nation needs to stop running around pointing his finger at other nations and talking about their shortcomings, because you don't have to look too far and too deep to find out the skeletons that are in the closet of our nation. This is before the entire world. The entire world sees this. And it's not like it used to be. They're looking at our nation and they're saying, how can you dare talk about our nation? You talk about a puppet government. The United States now is a puppet government. Those men and the people that Donald Trump has chosen, only somebody who would themselves be kind of deranged would they select the kind of people that he chose. Nobody else. Come on, man. He looked at these people and he knew. I'm sure when he looked at him and he said, yeah, I guess Matt Gaetz. Oh, yeah, that's the guy.
That's my guy.
Yeah, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Yeah, that's Linda McMahon from the WWE. Yeah, we'll put her in charge of education. And so either he's insane, Donald Trump, or this shows his lack of character, because he chose people. Well, he doesn't have any character himself, so I guess we couldn't expect him to dominate, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the worst part about it is I'm hearing other Republicans say, when they put the microphone in front of their face, we've got to give Donald, the president, what he wants. What? Less than 50% of the people in this nation voted for Donald Trump.
Right.
He didn't get 50%. So let's stop talking like he's got a mandate and like he got this overwhelming mandate, Dominic, to put all these people in these positions and really destroy the democracy that many of us hold dear.
855-752-4842. You're absolutely right. And it's come into clearer focus now that the numbers are coming in. Saw this yesterday from the New York Times. The final House race in California was called, going to a Democrat, cementing a 220 to 250 majority for Republicans in a margin that's now slimmer than they have. Currently, it's at 220 and 213. But, Earl, those margins will erode even further in January when Stefanik of New York and Mike Walls of Florida resigned to take jobs in the Trump administration. Gates, well, he resigned and he said he's not going to return. So then Republicans will be down to a 217 to 215 majority. And according to the New York Times, on par with the narrowest controlling margin in House history. And they couldn't get things done last time around with a 220 to 213. So what is the expectation going to be for this time? So I got to see. Here's my point. Knowing that the billionaires have just stopped, paying folks to do the job. They're just going to do the job themselves. You know, they're getting rid of the middleman. You know, back in the day, you used to have they'd have the billionaire pay the politician. Politician go do the dirty work. Now they're just like, well, it's just like celebrity politician. I'm a billionaire, so I want to do the work. I don't need to pay anybody else to do it. I'm rich. I'm smart. I'm going to be the guy or the gal to do the job. And it seems like you couldn't pick more people to blow it up, because that's what they want to do. Blow up the system, quote unquote. What a scary premise. But it's also a fool's game, because they're not going to be able to get anything out of that House, given how the megas are acting. Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Got Earl Ingram joining us today. His show airs on the Civic Media Radio Network, 8 to 10 a.m. That morning shift. You can check him out Monday through Friday. Got GSPS on the board. Earl, there's another guy that did a morning stint. His name was Pete Hegseth. And apparently that dude would show up hungover as hell. I'm like, you know what? That's why I do an afternoon show.
It's more practical.
Oh, a couple of the texters out there. Someone from the 414, where Biden did some things to help the auto industry and Trump never said let it die. What do you object to? Didn't say let it die. He said let it go bankrupt back in 2008. Let him go bankrupt. Let it go bankrupt. So not let it die. Let it go bankrupt. And of course, reorganizing the unions. I mean, what was a play on that? And who's buying cars from bankrupt auto companies? So that was the tenor. That was Donald Trump's thought back then. Just let it go bankrupt. Let him go. I mean, Donald Trump does know something about bankruptcy, Earl. but that would have been devastating for the Michigan economy.
Not just the Michigan economy. We're talking about the United States economy, and he can use semantics all he wants to. The guy who texts that, but the truth of the matter is, he was willing to allow all of those jobs and all of those people to lose their jobs and the hardship that would have went along with that. We're seeing vestiges of it now. People talking about their families and struggling the way that they have. And that's happening at a time, Dominic, when the economy was under Barack Obama, was coming out of, you know, George Bush Jr. <You're right. laughs> You remember him?
Oh, man, it's the same play, man. You know, the Republicans get in, they drive it to the ground, and then, you know, the Dems come back and try to, you know, and then what happened? And then ultimately have to go to pocket. You know, we got to go tap into the vein and put some money out there to clean up what the Republicans did. The Hill reporting on this, I guess this was back in 2016 when Obama was talking about, and he was on the campaign trail, and he referenced Donald Trump said he should let it go bankrupt. Also found that in CNBC back in 2008. But the statistics coming out of that time, they said that the U.S. auto companies would go broke and would have cost 1 million jobs across the country and killed Michigan's economy. I mean, 1 million jobs, Earl. I mean, that's you just can't to hell with it. I mean, and that's the guy now who's going to become president of the United States. That's the guy who one of our texters points out is filling his cabinet with oligarchs, man. That's the guy. And these are the people that are going to be determining what you and I and Jess and we the people, how we're going to exist and how we're going to govern. They're the one making the decision. Do you think for a minute a billionaire is going to make decisions for Earl Ingram to your benefit, you know, Dominic, Earl?
At that time, and let's not kid ourselves, those were strong middle-class jobs. Strong middle-class jobs that offered benefits, pensions, and allowed those people to live well. My issue, Dominic, is so Donald Trump has given Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy an opportunity to create something called Doge. And Doge means that they're going to be Musk has already said we've got to cut $2 trillion from the budget.
I mean, where did that number
Nobody
come from?
Nobody knows. Right. So, and Dominic, this is at the same time that he's been fighting for a $56 billion. You can't make the stuff up, Dominic.
No, right. Yeah, he's trying to get a $56 billion payday out of Tesla automobiles. And he's going to cut $2 trillion. And was that just grabbed from ass? I mean, where'd you come up with, I'm just going to, $2 trillion. You know why? Because $1 trillion wasn't enough, and $3 trillion was just too much.
Yeah. I mean, and Dominic, so it's hard to fathom that you're putting a guy who's worth $330 billion, and he's already told the American people, including some of those who voted for him, there's going to be some pain. You're going to have to go through some pain. And he said that before they voted. And guess what?
Right.
He's going to meet out some pain.
He's good. If you want it, I got it for you, Earl. I got it in fistfuls.
It's unbelievable, man. It's heartbreaking because people got caught up in something and they thought they could trust these people. And they've been talking about how much the bread costs and all of that. It's going to be even worse, man. It's going to be worse.
Earl Ingram Jr. joining me, Jess, on the board. Callers, we'll get to you momentarily, 855-752-4842. On this very topic, a mere 6 hours ago, Zoe Lofgren, a rep from California, says, in her opinion, that the Doge concept is unconstitutional and illegal. You know, quote, this is a quote from her. You know, they haven't asked to meet with me, but the impoundment of funds that have been appropriated by the Congress is unconstitutional and illegal. There is no such Department of Government Efficiency. It's made up. So good luck to them. I'm thinking to myself, yeah, no doubt. And then break it down. Like, where's the money coming from? I mean, half the money goes to Social Security and Medicare, right? I mean, and a big chunk to defense and a big lot of stuff. So what's your big plan? We got, you know, we have the debt, you know, I got to pay that off too. That's a chunk as well. You know, where are you coming up with the concept, the numbers? You got a spreadsheet, man? You want to share
food stamps? Food stamps.
Yes. Yes. Food stamps.
Fraction of a percent.
Come on. It is just. And so they're out there and people are buying it. Now, is there room for new efficiencies? Absolutely, man. No question about it, man. The federal government and governments in general have a tendency to be bloated and inefficient. And I mean, think of some of the computer systems or if any are that they're still working on these days. So there is certainly room for improvement, continual improvement. Always. That is always the case in every organization. Government, public, private. Doesn't matter. You can always, always look and find some way to do something better, more efficient, more cost effective. That's continuous improvement. And I encourage that. But you don't make something up and put a couple of billionaires in charge and just pull a number and say, oh, we're gonna cut it by trillions of dollars. And again, who controls the purse strings? Well, it's Congress. And if the Republicans got a one-vote majority in Congress, I don't know if they're going to be able to do any of the things that they claim they want to do. So I get the big promises, but we've been promised from things from Donald Trump before. Remember, Mexico's going to pay for the wall. Yep. You know, these kinds of things. So I get the bluster. Same thing with the mass deportation. Okay, how does that work? And what does success look like? And who's going to do it? And what's it going to cost? When it comes down to it, are you going to export or deport millions and millions of farm laborers and shop workers? You know what I'm saying? What's going to happen to the industries that these folks are in? Because I don't know about you, Earl, but I'm not getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning to go milk the cows, man.
Well, that's not anymore.
I used to.
Well, Dominic, a couple things. You pointed out. I mean, if people just thought just a little bit, right? Half of the farm laborers in this nation are illegal immigrants. Most of the people who are building homes and whatnot are illegal immigrants who aren't in unions, who've been hired by rich people.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're cheaper than the unionized help. And those illegal immigrants come here, Dominic, and some of them are tradespeople.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's easy to say, I'm going to send them all back. I'm going to do this. But he hasn't given any thought whatsoever by going into where those people are who till the farms and do that kind of work,
mm-hmm.
the impact that would have on the food supply. They don't have any idea at all about anything, and they've allowed a bull to run loose in the China shop. And that's exactly what's taking place, Dominic. And the only saving grace is what you just said. They don't have a big enough majority in the House. And so one or two Kristen Sinema or Joe Manchin's.
Right.
And they'll get the same thing that Joe Biden got and the Democrats got, yeah. Right?
And we know how that works out for everybody. Yep. Folks are listening to the Dom Salvi Show. That's Earl Ingram Jr. Going to get to your lines right now. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Kurt from Madtown, you're up. Welcome, Kurt. What do you got for us?
Good evening, gentlemen. Remember the show way back, the fleecing of America?
Yes.
Well, you're going to see it in spades now. But the thing that I wanted to say is we keep on speaking about Trump and all of his cronies. We already know who he was when he was president the first time around. This is no longer about Trump or his cronies. This is about the people in this country who willingly voted for him. A criminal, a liar, a rapist. So, you know what? That means almost every person or every other person you pass on the street walking, that's one of those. They voted for him. And these aren't, just remember, if you took the number of people who voted for him who have college degrees, they voted for him. So the problem isn't Trump anymore. The real cancer are the occupants of this country who want to throw democracy aside, have no empathy for others. It's a me first, hate the Dems. The machine has been pumping out hate the Dems for as long as I can remember, starting with Rush Limpbrain. So here we are. We're in a pot of soup where half of us are off our rocker, and then there's the other half of us who have rational thoughts. But guess what? It doesn't matter. Guess what? It doesn't matter, because half of them are going to take the country down.
Kurt, I hear what you're saying, and I think it's easy to group it like that. I don't know that that's the case, and I'll tell you why. I think there is a lot of misunderstanding and misinformation. As we're just talking about here, if you just look at the practicality of here in the state of Wisconsin and the amount of undocumented labor on the farms, and a lot of these folks, and we talked to our buddy Hans a couple of weeks ago, a farmer, and he has, you know, he's like 400 milking cows, and he's got like 10 or 12 people working for him, and you know, everyone fills out their I-9, Earl, but you don't know if the I-9 is accurate or not, and they're there, and they're doing the job. Because it's not going to be you, Earl, getting up at 5 o'clock to go milk the cows. It's not going to be me. Jess, you may have the energy to do it, but it's probably not going to be you. And so these are the folks that are getting up and doing that work. And as we mentioned, as you're talking about housing or construction in general, you know, the meatpacking places and, you know, the agriculture, you know, going out. Who's going to be going out and picking the crops? You know, it's not going to be Trump's grandson. You know what I'm saying? It's not going to be those kids. The cycle, and these are the folks. A lot of these folks, Earl, voted for this, and I think there is a disconnect. I don't think, Kurt, that you can say that they're purposely trying to bring it down. I think they were sold a bill of goods by a very talented huckster, and that is Donald Trump. And there's one way to find out as time goes on, and if these things come to pass, which is highly questionable, but if they do come to pass, and all of a sudden you are down half of your workforce. And you can't get the job done. Well, what's going to happen to prices? What's going to happen to production? Production is going to go down. Prices are going to go up. That's not going to fix inflation. In fact, that is inflation. Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show. That's Earl. That's Jess. Come back with us one final segment, 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Earl, a couple things I want to get to. We got some texters here as well. Let's see here. Llama from Madison. I thought farmers would defend their land to the grave against the government. Now they will let ICE raiding parties kidnap their workers. Sad. Well, I mean, yeah, that's the thing. And what, they're going to go out there and they're going to have to do the work themselves? Some of these things you just cannot do. And if you don't have the local workforce to do it, good luck. You're selling everything. And now if you got all the cows, you got to sell the cows, sell the farm. Sell, I mean, what's going to happen? So I don't know that this is really practical, that it would actually come to fruition. I want to throw one more thing out there before we get back to the lines and Earl's comments as well. 855-752-4842. On the MSNBC is written up at the Raw story, Steve Rattner talking about Doge, you know, the Doge cutting the $2 trillion. Here's what he said. Social Security and Medicare make up about 50% of what the government spends. You add defense and veterans benefits, that's another 20%. Now you're up to 70%. Add debt, how much it costs to service a debt, that's another 10%. So even before they even start talking about cutting these so-called federal employees that are bankrupting us, the United States government has already spent 80% of its budget on Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, VES, defense, interest on the debt. Now, some of these other numbers. Oh, let's cut law enforcement. That's 1% of the budget. Let's cut sciences and medical research. We spend too much money on that. maybe saving another 1%. Transportation, those barrel projects are going to bankrupt us. That's 2%. Again, if you actually look at this, it's a scam. It's a scam because they're going to slash Social Security and Medicare and Veterans Affairs. They're never going to get to the $2 trillion, so they need to just stop pretending. And again, where do you come up with the number? $2 trillion, Elon or Vivek? You know what I'm saying? It's just, you just can't pull numbers out. And these things, if you're going to start talking, cutting Social Security and Medicare, okay, good luck with that. You know, that's not going to go down. There's Republicans that are older as well. They don't want their benefits slashed. I mean, their benefits, they paid into the system, Earl. So we just have these folks that are just talking trash and convincing their voters that there'll be hey, this is going to be painful. Yeah, you're a farmer in Wisconsin and they take and deport your workforce. That's going to be very painful. What does that mean? That means you go bankrupt. That means you're out of business. That means milk is now $6, $8, $10 a gallon. You know, what is that? You talk about the price of butter. You were so concerned before. What do you think is going to happen when millions and millions of laborers are deported, if that would be the case?
Yeah, Dominic, I don't think people believe that that's going to happen. And I'm going to shut up and listen to your callers.
855-752-4842. L.A. Tom, you are up. Welcome, sir. What do you got for us?
Yeah, guys, first off, since I didn't get my birthday gift, which would have been Kamala Harris winning, I'm hoping to get my early Christmas gift, which will be the Packers beating the Detroit Lions.
Come on, man.
That's what I'm hoping for.
Hey, the Lions, 3.5. Are you hoping for a cover, or are you looking for an outright victory?
No, I'm not like some of these conservative bros out there that are spending all their money on gambling. I actually... you know, I'm not sitting there crying about eggs, or, you know, when they're out crying about eggs, when they're gambling, and it's one of the biggest problems right now in America.
Well, now, hang on. If I may interject briefly here, Tom, it's only gambling if you lose. Otherwise, it's a sure thing.
That's incorrect.
That's good, Tom. No, I just think that, you know what, it's a wait and see time right now.
Yeah.
And we'll wait and see. But, you know, most people in this country don't understand that all spending starts in the House of Representatives. We have a Congress, which is the House and the Senate, but all spending bills start in the House of Representatives, and they only have a one-seat majority. So if these people on the Republican side want to give up their ability to even have the three branches of government and make it into one, then they'll go right along with what Donald Trump wants, and they will be out of a job because all he wants to do is be an authoritarian dictator where we don't need the three branches of government. So I would really, if I were them, I'd really think twice about how it is that, you know, I put myself out of a job, just like all the people that voted against their best interest. You know, I hope they really think about this because they're, you know, the choices that we make, there's consequences to those choices.
No.
And we really need to be cognizant of it.
Yeah, great point. And it is kind of a wait and see, Earl. And I'm not betting against this country, but I do believe that there could be some dire consequences if what they try, what the MAGA is trying to do, actually comes to fruition. And it will be hurtful, harmful, economically speaking, at a very minimum, and certainly to some of the families that might be split up. If you got, you know, children that are American citizens and parents that are not, you know, all that. There's a lot that's going to be coming. I think ultimately what we have to do, Earl, or what I think I got to do is continue to speak the truth, to talk about these issues as I see them. Man, I used to work on the farm. I understand economics. I mean, these seem to me very practical and logical conclusions given the variables that we have. And if you come out with another one, you know, you might want to question the source of your information. Final 40 seconds, Earl. Any final thoughts?
Finally, a meaningful Thursday night football game that I won't fall asleep on.
My man, Earl Ingram, thank you so much. Make sure you check him out tomorrow morning after that glorious Lions victory. He'll be on the air at Civic Media, 8 to 10 a.m. Earl, thank you so much. A great pleasure to catch up with you. I appreciate it. Thank you,
always.
Jess. Folks, stick around. Pete Schwabe from The Nightlight is coming up next. I am going to Motown tomorrow. So Matt Rothschild will be filling in for me. So make sure you join him and Jess tomorrow. Have a great night, everybody.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.